It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, my co-host, the amazing wine writer and expert, Dan Lay It Down Berger, and Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn. Gentlemen, good to see you again.
It's great to be back.
And today we're featuring Rodney Strong Vineyards. I'll let Dan introduce our guests.
Rick Sayre is the winemaker for Rodney Strong, has been for, what, that's 73 years, I believe it is, right? Is that right, Rick? I think.
Have you ever been in on California Wine Country before?
With Tom Cimino.
Wow, that was a long... Oh, okay.
Wine guy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But that's been a long time.
It has been a long time. how long have you been at?
I've been a Rodney Strong 38 years.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow. I was not aware it's been that long. That's pretty amazing.
That was the same. He joined the Rodney Strong the same year I began writing my syndicated wine column 38 years ago.
No kidding.
That's true.
Dan, give us your take on Rick and Rodney Strong. I'm a big fan of Rodney Strong.
Well, the winery is really an impressive operation. They've gone through a lot of different incarnations. The Klein family now owns the property, but it's been in really wonderful hands for a long, long time. Tom Klein is really a wine lover, and that's one of the reasons the property is so successful. But more than that, Rick really works his butt off to find the best fruit. When you're making Chardonnay of a high order, Cabernet of a very high order, and all these other wines, Pinot Noir, you need to have really good relationships with growers. And Rick's relationships with growers goes way, way back. And that's one of the reasons why having a winemaker at the property for 38 years helps a lot, because there's consistency and continuity.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. How did you get started, Rick, in the whole wine business?
Well, this goes back to 1970. I worked at Simi Winery 10 years before starting at Rodney Strong.
Wow.
I started at a very young age. And
yeah, you must have been, what, eight, nine?
19. I was 19.
Okay.
And I brought a picture. I know this is radio, but that's me and my son. He was born in 1971. I started in 1970. So it was kind of funny. I gave him this picture standing here at Simi Winery. He worked for Constellation for the longest time. I said, this is your first day on the job.
Dude, you look amazing. So I'm going to assume it's the wine.
Well, the wine and it's the mentorship. I was mentored by this man. I didn't go to school to become a winemaker, but I'm a graduate of the University of Andrei Chelyachev.
Mm.
I worked, or I should say I suffered, under him for 7 years.
And nothing like suffering under Andre. Nothing.
We just had a big thing on him.
Yeah, I saw the documentary. That was Mark Chelyachev was in studio with
That's
us
right.
about a month ago, and
That's
he
right.
talked about that. And then I drove down to Mill Valley to the Mill Valley Film Festival and saw that film. It's a fabulous film. It's a great
film. Is it going to be streaming? Is it now streaming?
We don't know yet, because it's still it's got some contracts to fulfill with film festivals. And until those contracts are up, we won't know what's going to happen with the film. I asked Mark today on the phone if I can purchase a copy of the film. Rick, you were supposed to be there, but you couldn't make it because of the fires.
Yes, the debut in California was Monday, the day after the fire, and I couldn't even get through the road closures, but my house was still in the advisory area, so we didn't feel comfortable leaving.
Did you fare okay ultimately?
Yeah, we're okay. It only got about a mile from us, but the wind was terrible. You just didn't know. If the wind was blowing your way, then you needed to watch out.
Yeah.
This is an impressive Chardonnay, by the way. I have to say, we're drinking the 2015 Rodney Strong Chardonnay, and I don't know how you did this, but this is it's a very, very nice vintage, but this wine really exceeds what I think the vintage offered, because this has really got wonderful acidity, but it's also got a lot of richness to it as well.
This is our Chalk Hill Chardonnay, and my first vintage of the Chalk Hill Chardonnay was 1980, and Rod's very first Chardonnay from Chalk Hill was labeled in 1977.
Jeez.
And that was 6 years before the Appalachian was even on the map. So we were the very first with Chalk Hill. It's always been barrel fermented. We've just fine-tuned a lot of things, a few trips to Burgundy, and kind of, you know, gave me a jump start on how to do it. But, I like to say this is the best of two worlds. It has the complexity of a French Burgundy, but it has the richness of a California Chardonnay. So we have no problem getting the fruit right.
It is lovely, and I am Mr. Chard.
This did well at the Harvest Fair this year. I think double gold medal. Mm-hmm. It's been flying out of the store.
We can tell that in a second. Rick brought all of his press clippings, so we'll do that in a second. Yeah.
Dan's a wine judge, so I felt obligated to bring him. This all is the winningest Chardonnay in the nation.
That's correct. In fact, you got the top two Chardonnays. You've got the Rodney Strong Chalk Hill, and you've got the Rodney Strong Sonoma Coast, and they both scored more points than any other Chardonnays in this country in wine competitions this year. Fabulous. What a great opportunity for us.
I just got a text from Christopher DiMatteo down in L.A. He is our podcast god and website guy, and he thankfully reminded me to plug our podcast. You can catch every episode of California Wine Country at calwinecountry.com, iTunes, and everywhere really good podcasts are offered. Calwinecountry.com. Our guest is Rick Sear. Did I say that right?
Sear. Sear. Rhymes with bear.
Okay. Yeah, Rick Sear. For 38 years, the winemaker at Rodney Strong. I find that so amazing. Wow.
Well, there's a good reason. You know, I've worked for many, many corporations. Shefflin, who made the Blue Nun.
I remember that.
Moët. Renfield, Guinness, Shenley. Started out working for Russ Green at Simi, family-owned. And now we've been family-owned since 1989 by the Klein family.
Right.
And the Klein family takes great pride wanting to be one of the best wine producers. We put money back into the vineyards. They give us the tools, the tanks. We've been on a search to find our sweet spots in the vineyards since 2005. They've given us two very small, we call artisan cellars, where we can 5 to 20-ton tanks. We can isolate our best grapes. Because before that, it was somewhat frustrating because we knew there were great grapes out in the vineyard. But by the time you picked a block, 50 tons would come in, and the pickers in the vineyard would have already mixed all the grapes on the trucks. There was no way to identify these special little areas. So we've been doing that now since 2005, not only making better wines, but understanding the vineyard much better. And
that's one of the things that most people don't realize about winemaking is that it's a matter of logistics more than it is anything, a lot of other things. Certainly it's grapes, but logistics is really crucial. And Rick has mastered it. I mean,
in a year like this year.
Oh, this is a tough year.
When things were a scramble.
We're going to have great wine this year. No question. Yeah. This is going to be a great vintage, but you really have to dodge some bullets.
Yeah. Is the quantity?
The quantity will be fine. We're going to lose about 10% probably because of the fires, but I think most of that is going to be in sort of marginal stuff. Look, all the whites, all the rosés were already picked.
Right.
80% of the reds already picked.
Really?
Yeah. We're like Pinot Noir's all picked. You know, it's all the late harvested stuff like Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel. Those are the ones that were a little dicey. But some people really acted quickly and avoided some problems.
How did Rodney Strong fare, Rick?
You know, we're doing quite well. We're monitoring all of the tanks that came in. You can analyze the grape juice, but it will not. The analysis will not show up in the grape juice. You have to ferment it, get it almost dry before you send it out for the analysis.
Wow.
And I would say 95% of our wines, which we were very concerned with, are perfectly fine. We've only right now have maybe a couple of tanks that just have just a minor amount, and we're taking steps to mitigate that. And it's so small that, you know, it will disappear into a blend.
And I had an article last week about smoke taint, and that's really not going to be a major problem.
Yeah. Smoke taint. Yeah. Can you say that on the radio?
in some states.
I don't know. My head's in the gutter, as always. You guys make a lot of different wines. right?
Well, we make the classic Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc for the whites, Cabernet, Merlot, Pinot Noir for the reds, a little bit of Zinfandel, and we have a couple of new red blends, but, you know, that is small. So we're sticking pretty much to the classic wines. Yeah.
And Barry, as far as Bottle Barn, it's Rodney Strong, and it has to be one of your top sellers.
Oh, yeah. It's way probably in the top five of anything we sell up there. The Chardonnay for sure, and then Charlotte Sauvignon Blanc, another big hitter in the Harvest Fair this year. We've probably already been through 50 cases since we started the Harvest Fair thing. And then all the reds. We pretty much carry everything they'll sell us, and we have no issues.
Natty Vine Zinfandel is always a staple in your portfolio. That's a really lovely wine.
It's we did pretty well with that too, but it is small volume compared to our Chardonnay Cabernet. But Rod was very big with the Old Vine Zinfandel back in the early 70s.
We
dropped the Old Vines, call it Naughty Vines now, because there's no definition of what an old vine is.
Naughty, not naughty, right?
Yeah, naughty, because we did
well, naughty. You mean like bad vines?
No, naughty like...
Naughty, like...
K-N-O-T-T-Y.
That's what I thought. Okay. Okay.
Gnarly naughty.
It was sort of a play on words because there were a lot of people being naughty, calling it old vines when it wasn't.
Ah. So it could go either way.
Yeah.
It's like reserve. For there's really no... What does that really mean on the label?
I know. I've always wondered about that. But. Are we breaking? Okay, we got to take a break. Rick Serre is here, the winemaker for 38 years at Rodney Strong. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, with the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, and, of course, Dan Lay It Down Burger. and, again, we want to thank Stett Holbrook, editor of The Bohemian, for writing the amazing cover story and many pages of our story here over the last two or three weeks. Featuring one of the great Sonoma County heroes, Mike DeWald. He hates it when I do that. That's why I do it. That's why I do it. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. The wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, is with us, of course, and Dan Berger. Dan Lay It Down Burger, my co-host. And our guest today is Rick Serre, the winemaker, 38 years at Rodney Strong. And Chris DiMatteo in L.A. just asked me again as we come back from the break to remind everyone that the California Wine Country, every episode can be heard on podcast at calwinecountry.com, iTunes, and elsewhere. But go to calwinecountry.com. All right. Where are we, guys?
We're looking at this Cabernet here, this 2014 Rodney Strong Cabernet Sauvignon from Knights Valley, which is like an extension of Napa Valley, actually. It's technically in Sonoma County, but it's on the other side of the mountain range, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's north of Napa County, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's north and, I guess, east or west, I guess, a little bit.
As you're heading out of Calistoga.
Yeah.
What's really fascinating about this wine is that Rick has fine-tuned this to the point now where it really stands on its own. How many cases do you make? You don't make a lot of this, but...
No, we do.
So what's the volume? Well...
It's right there.
Yeah, 4 million... What is that?
12,000.
12,000 cases.
Wow.
This is an amazing wine because it's all aged in French oak, so it has that really beautiful pecan nut kind of aroma to it from the wood, but really the dominant feature of this wine is this gorgeous varietal character of fruit of Cabernet. It smells like Cabernet, tastes like Cabernet. It's going to be great in about a couple of 3 years, but I think the best thing to do is buy it, take it home, decant it, and allow it to have 2 hours of air and let it really
delicious now.
Gorgeous
just,
wine.
Back in
or lay it down for 100 years?
Well, I would say, you know, given the fact that this is perfectly made, it needs about 10.
10 years?
Yeah, 10 is minimum,
that's
but you know, you could.
Wow.
Well, that's a short term aging for me, and But I think most people will not be aging this. I had an article in the Press Democrat this morning that said that people are not aging their wine typically anymore. The housing sizes for apartments are shrinking. People are not putting their wine away. But if you have an opportunity to put a bottle or two of this away for about 6 to 7 years more, you would really be rewarded. This is just delicious.
But it's tasting great right now.
It tastes great now. And the thing is, it's only, now I hate to say only $35, but compared to wines from elsewhere that are selling for $80, $90, $100, this is like a steal. Yeah. Wonderful wine. What are you going to have it for, Barry?
I think we're in the 26, 28 range.
Ridiculous. Unbelievable value.
If you had Napa Valley on the label, you could just double that.
So yeah. Talk about making this, Rick.
Well, I was mentored by Andrei Chelichev, and before I ride off into the sunset...
Who was a chain smoker who lived to 92. He's my new hero.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I haven't retired yet, but I have two young men that I'm very proud of. And this wine was... this has always been part of our Sonoma County blend. And I hired a young man by the name of Justin Seidenfeld, and we were going through the tanks. He says, wow, this is really great. We ought to do this on its own. And I said, okay. So let him do a little bit for the tasting room, our wine club, and then everybody loved it. Our national salespeople said, how come we don't have this? All of a sudden, it just caught on fire. And Justin is really the father of this wine, and he's just done a great, great job with it. And it's classic.
I think the secret to this wine is the fact that you've had a couple of years making it, but now you've got a vintage here that's just phenomenal. This is
what year is it again?
2014. This is going to be a fabulous vintage. Most people don't realize how fast these wines come along. They're released early. You don't make an evaluation soon enough. I mean, late enough. You have to wait on these evaluations. I've tasted the 14s now for over a year. This is a great, great vintage. What do you think of the vintage?
You know, I love the 12, 13, and 14 vintage. The 13s ultimately came out a little more tannic, a little more tight. The 14s are a little more generous. I'd rather drink the 14s now than the 13s, but they're all great vintages.
Three great vintages in a row. And by the way, my favorite vintages of the last few years, 2010 and 11. I like the 11s because it was a cool year. So
11s are going to come around.
They will come around. They'll shock people
young,
how good they are.
But they're going to get there. Yeah,
we like the 11s, but it was a little more variable. Lower sugars, a little bit of dilution from the rains. Fortunately, we had a lot of our fruit in before it happened to rain, but I think that's going to be very, very interesting.
This 14 is steel at $35. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. There's not very much Cabernet out there that's this good, that's that low in price.
Let me ask, speaking of the fires and wine and vineyards, you said, Dan, that this is going to be a good vintage.
Yeah, it was a cool year.
And there wasn't that much lost since everybody had already started.
In 2008, we had some fires along the Mendocino-Sonoma County line. And those fires came in August. These fires came in October.
Yeah.
So we're talking 2 months later. There wasn't anywhere near the damage.
Okay.
Things were a lot thinner than
Now,
could absorb it.
And with all due respect to the industry and everybody else, they're not going to be... raising prices this year.
They can't afford to. There's too much good wine out there.
Yeah,
everybody's got a cellar full of wine, except for, a few people. We had Paradise Ridge we had on a couple of weeks ago. They lost everything, and obviously they're going to be in some difficulty in terms of regrouping. So Signorello and a handful of other wineries. But for the vast majority of these wineries, their production is going to be about the same. If they tried to raise prices based on the fires, they just won't sell the wine.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, makes sense. What else did you bring, Rick?
I just brought the Chardonnay for you, the Cabernet for Dan.
Oh, this is one I brought.
Oh, okay. Barry's brought one.
Yeah, and, this is and another one.
By the way, I can't even taste the reds because I'm having some old guy stomach issues.
So. Oh, okay. Well, Chardonnay is your friend.
Sticking with the Chard, yeah.
Exactly.
But, yeah, talk about this.
So this was one... that I remember from the Harvest Fair because as judges we get this one thing called a silver bullet. If we disagree with our fellow judges and we really love a wine, we're allowed to push a wine up to gold medal status. And this is one I don't usually use that silver bullet, but for this wine I did. And it's Alicante Boucher from Mayo Family Vineyards.
Jeff Mayo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in.
Had a good scare, I think, from the fire, but came out okay in the long run. and makes great wines. We do really well with their wines at the store. And this is one that's, you know, a real old-time grape that you find in real, some of the oldest vineyards in all of Sonoma County.
The grape variety is Alicante Boucher, and there are about five different Alicantes. There's Alicante Ganzen and some others. The problem with this
I bought a car in the 70s that was called Alicante.
Hey, you buy it at the top of a hill and it goes down. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been a long few weeks. My comedy writers are on strike, so I have to fend for myself. Go ahead.
Well, Alicante is a really tough grape to deal with because it's got so much tannin. It's a teinturier grape, which means that it's got red juice. The juice of most red wine grapes is clear. And here we have a grape variety that actually has red juice. And so, therefore, it's got a lot of tannin. This is really gutsy wine.
It's usually blended. It's
tough stuff.
Yeah, it's usually blended, I think, for that reason. And it's often in a field blend with, you know, the mixed blacks, which sometimes have white grapes in it, too, and, you know, 11, 12 varieties sometimes. And on its own, it's pretty distinctive. It's intense and guts. It needs some, like, heavy food, lamb.
This is like licking a trailer hitch.
Yeah, exactly.
An Italian trailer.
Yeah. Here we go.
It probably came after I did the $40 and above Zinfandel category.
There we go.
Right?
So this tasted good.
Right,
this is fine.
After
right.
that. Yeah.
Good flavors. I love the flavors.
Yeah, and just I think different and distinctive.
Alicante's is really an interesting grape variety. Very few people make it. And if Mayo's making it, he's probably selling it to, you know, just those people who care about it.
Handful of geeks like myself.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating grape, but it's not. I would not call it a mainstream variety.
Yeah, no, you're not going to see it by the glass anytime soon.
Can I ask Rick a question?
Of course.
You've been making Rodney Strong's the famous Alexander's Crown wine for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
In 1974, when it first came out, it got rave reviews. Since then, partially because it's from Sonoma County, it doesn't get quite the same accolade as it has deserved. How do you accommodate to the fact that you have been making this fabulous wine for so long and you're just not getting the recognition value? And the wine is wonderful. It's gotten better year after year.
Well, this is a big story about the evolution of the vineyard. Back in the early 70s when Rod Strong planted that vineyard, little did he know that he was planting with virus rootstock, leaf roll. So that vineyard had a certain number of years where it was stellar, and then it slowly declined as the leaf roll virus got a little bit worse each year. Well, when the Kleins bought the winery, we went on a systematic replanting of the vineyards, new clones, new rootstocks. Unfortunately, and AXR was no longer available to us because that was taken away by phylloxera.
AXR.
The rootstock. It was a devastating rootstock. Long story.
So there was a learning factor of the rootstocks, a lot of mistakes being made. But, again, there was another virus, which we didn't know about, called red blotch.
Mm.
And, unfortunately, some of the blocks in the replanting. And so the crown suffered a couple of years. And then we replanted block one. With very clean clone 4, and then we changed it to a bigger, richer.
You got to come back next time we have you in. We'll have some Alexander Crown on the air, and then we'll see how that went. So I always liked
it. Amazing.
So it's back, but the old Crown was more Bordeaux-like, lower alcohol, because the virus wouldn't let us get.
Why is it called Alexandra Crown?
It was on top of Alexander Valley, but on an Alexander, the crown was the top of the ridge. So
yes.
To speak.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hilltop rising in the middle of the valley. So
in Alexander Valley,
it has exposure north, south, east, and west.
Wow.
And
fascinating piece of property. These guys are really the masters of that kind of wine. It's really difficult because east facing is different from west facing, and you have different angles of the sun, and therefore you have to know your vineyards really, really well to be able to make a wine out of that stuff.
And with the smaller tanks we started building in 2005, we have learned exactly that the morning exposure totally different wine from the afternoon, which has more intense heat and radiation. The north side is in the shade, much cooler temperature. It's a little more herbaceous and is slower to ripen.
What I like about all this is it's geeky. Yeah, I get it. But the fact is that when you buy a bottle of wine, you know that somebody really thought it through. It was carefully thought through. It was not just an accident that happened.
Yeah, okay. Let's wrap it up, guys. Rick, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's always fun to share wine with some friends. People say, why don't you use those smaller half bottles? And I said, well, they're problematic. They don't age as well. You just need to get some more friends.
I like that.
I brought Dan a little token. I told him Dan has influenced my life. He asked me to be a judge at the Riverside Farmers Fair in 1988. And I was on the Cabernet panel with some very remarkable people, one of them being Randall Graham. And I was young. I was very ambitious and very set in my ways back then. And the three judges awarded this one Cabernet a gold medal, and I awarded it a silver. And Randall Graham came to me and says, why don't you come off your silver and come up to a gold? That way this wine will be a four-star gold medal. And I said, I can't compromise. I'm staying at a silver. I think this wine is excellent, but I don't see anything special about it. And Randall Graham looked at me and says, this wine is flawless. Says, you know, it's really too bad. And Dan had this thing, if it didn't make a four-star gold medal, it got a crystal award. And so anyway, we took a break later in the afternoon. Randall Graham came back and was laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? He says, that wine you gave a silver to, it was yours.
Ouch. Live and learn.
So I keep this to remind myself to stay humble.
I like that.
The wine was flawless, but I lived with it all the time. I didn't see anything too close extraordinary to it. About it.
But he made it. So.
That is a great story. What's going on at BB Bottle Barn, Barry?
Well, we're getting back in the flow. We did a short fundraiser on Monday and Tuesday to donate to the cause locally.
Yeah, I saw that. I talked about that.
Yeah, and there's more coming up. I think Jason's got something in the works with some of the very rare whiskeys that we get in the fall. We're going to auction, I think, some of those off for the money going to charity as well. And we've talked about possibly doing tastings. There'll be more down the road.
Are you still going to do the champagne tasting?
Not in November, but we may do it later on, possibly.
Okay, but next spring you're doing my Chardonnay tasting.
The Chardonnay is locked in. I'm committed to Steve on that.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to have a special. You can come an hour earlier. We'll have a special ticket.
No, I can't do that because we're probably going to broadcast live again.
Oh, well, that's right.
Yeah,
you'll need to do that. Maybe after.
Yeah, I'll stick around afterwards.
We'll host an after party in your
name. There you go. Yeah. Dan? Your article in today's PD, you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, we're talking about the fact that very few people are laying wines away, not certainly like me, but there's less space in houses and less space, especially in apartments. People don't really have a palate yet for understanding mature wine. When they taste a wine as good as this Rodney Strong 14 Cabernet from Knights Valley, they will if they know something about wine, they'll know to put it away for 2 years, 3 years at least. 10, easy. But two or three for sure.
Well, easy for you.
Well, I'm real optimistic.
But most people don't have a wine cellar like you do.
No, well, you can fake it. Just put it under the bed.
That's what Andre did.
Well, as I've told you, my wine cellar is my trunk of the car.
It ages faster that way.
Apparently.
It accelerates it by like 10 times.
Rick Sayre, winemaker for 38 years at Rodney Strong. Thanks. And thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Have a great night.